Chapter 3. One fine Sunday morning, Alphonse Elric awoke to a series of loud clatters from downstairs. And possibly, no, definitely, he couldn't mistake it, the sound of whistling. He glanced at the clock. 9:06. No one should even be awake in their house at that hour, much less moving. He slipped out of bed in perfect silence and padded along to the door of his bedroom, glancing through the open crack to make sure no one was there before opening it. Wincing at the creak of hinges, he made it to the top of the stairs before the sleepy, paranoid side of his brain was satisfied. It couldn't be a burglar because nothing was gone, and also because it would be a very strange burglar who sneaked into somebody's house only to start cooking bacon. The greasy, beautiful smell of it permeated the air, and Al floated down the stairs, almost without touching the floor, supported only by the prospect of pan-fried sin. If it wasn't a thief, then it had to be his brother, of course. Though the thought of Edward being up at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning just to make bacon seemed so much, much less likely than burglary. "Brother," Al said, rounding the corner to the kitchen. "Is that you?" "Who else would it be?" Ed replied, his back to Alphonse as he performed some magic with a spatula and a skillet, presumably upon some delicious pig meat. He turned around to his younger brother, skillet in hand, and gave him a wide grin. "So there's bacon if you want it. I kind of burned the first batch a little bit, but I think it's still edible," he said with a quick jerk of his head towards a high pile of the stuff on a plate by the stove. "Next couple were pretty good, though." Al eyed the bacon and his brother with equal suspicion. "It's not poisoned or anything, is it?" he asked, frowning. "You haven't done anything horrible to it?" It was Ed's turn to frown then. "Of course not. Why would I do that?" he said, turning around so he could slide the bacon from the pan onto the plate. By the time he turned back to face Al, the frown had already smoothed back into a smile. Alphonse stared in bafflement. "Brother, are you okay? You're acting weird," Al said, crossing his arms. Ed laughed. "There's something weird about wanting bacon." "There's something weird about Edward Elric cooking bacon at 9 o'clock on a Sunday." "Yes. Usually I can only get you out of bed before noon at great risk to my person." Ed shrugged and picked up the overburdened plate, walking to deposit it on the kitchen table between two empty, smaller plates. "I woke up this morning and felt like making breakfast, so I made some for both of us. I'm just in a good mood today," he said, sitting down at his chair and plucking a strip of meat off of the plate. He ripped the end off with his teeth and swallowed it down, chewing being just one more unnecessary step in the bacon's journey to his stomach. Al should have been suspicious. And it was weird. His brother hadn't been himself lately. But Edward just looked so happy sitting there and dividing up the pile of bacon that Al couldn't help the smile that crept over his face. "I'm glad, brother. You've been in such a bad mood recently that I was just surprised. That's all," he said, sitting down opposite Ed and picking up a piece of his own. Bacon was a finger food in this household. Living with Edward, just about everything was a finger food. "Have I been?" Ed asked, furrowing his brow for just a second, like he was thinking. "I guess I have. Sorry about that." "I made you breakfast to make up for it."
"No, you didn't.
You made breakfast because you wanted bacon."
Maybe,"
Ed said cheerily, ripping off another bite of bacon. "But hopefully I'm going to keep being in a great mood for a while at least. I think I'd like a job," he said. Alphonse couldn't quite tell if the last sentence was at all related to the one before it, or if the man just hadn't bothered to attempt a segue. It didn't much matter which it was, really, as long as Al got to see his brother bright-eyed and chirpy in the morning at least a few more times in his life.
"Excellent. I'm so glad you've come around about the job thing," said Al. "It's about time, too."
Edward made a face.
"What do you mean, it's about time? You never suggested us getting jobs before. It was my idea," he growled, though without any real vitriol.
He crammed another piece of bacon in his mouth.
"I'm so glad you think so," Alphonse said, smiling beatifically. "That must mean I'm doing it right."
The blonde gave him another look, one eyebrow raised and mouth pursed,
like he couldn't decide whether he wanted to smile or frown. He settled for a kind of bemusement. Alphonse finally took a bite out of the strip of meat himself. Grease and salt coated his tongue as he chewed delicately, enjoying the crunch of it between his teeth. He wondered when his brother had learned to cook bacon. Certainly not from Al, though that wasn't for any lack of trying.
"You've been spending way too much time with a certain general, we know," Ed said, jabbing a finger in his direction for emphasis. "You've been picking up his bad habits. Now I'm not even sure whether you've actually been subliminally messaging me, or if you're just saying that to make me think you did."
Al nodded, still smiling. "Then all is right with the world," he said, and picked up another piece.
Several days without any noise at all from Mustang had Ed on edge, snappish and bafflingly nervous. Not precisely angry, maybe. Not yet, but he had taken a huge risk that day in Roy's bedroom, and he had thought that maybe, but no such luck. He didn't know why he had expected anything different. Honestly, he didn't even know what he had expected exactly. Maybe a goddamn telephone call, for one? Something to make him feel like he hadn't completely and irrevocably fucked shit up. The only refuge in that kind of assholery, or from his own nervousness, was alchemy. People were so much more confusing. Alchemy never lied to you, never made you think it was going to turn steel into a sword and then go and set you on fire instead.
Sure, you could get it wrong, but usually then you had a chance to make it right again. Afterwards. Unless you were being colossally stupid and trying to do something you really shouldn't be doing at all, in which case that was probably the end for you. Or maybe people weren't so different from alchemy, and Ed's problem was that he was trying to do something he should never have been trying to do in the first place. Maybe interactions between people had laws and rules and shit, too. Only he could just never seem to figure out what any of them were, except equivalent exchange. That was a given. He was a lot better at figuring out chemical equations than people equations. Numbers and chemicals and elements made sense, he thought as he sat at the desk in his library, pen working steadily across his paper. He scribbled down notes and possibilities for the numbers, symbols, shapes that would allow him to transmute cyanide into its antidote. The mental puzzle calmed him and grounded him, reminded him that there were things in this world that made sense. He didn't even know his brother was in the room. At least, not until Al's voice startled him out of his reverie.
"You know, I had an idea yesterday,"
Al said, and Ed glanced over to see him lying on the library couch with a book perched on his stomach. He looked comfortable and halfway done with his book besides. He had probably been there for hours.
"Yeah?"
Ed asked, turning his attention back to his notes. He was so close to an answer to his problem, he could practically smell it. He had lined up strings of numbers and variables next to chemical reactions on his ink-smudged page, with the solutions to each other out on the side. In alchemy, the hard part was figuring out which damn question was the right question. Finding the solutions was the easy part. He just had to read an equation to know what numbers went where. Just like he only needed to read a sentence in a book in order to know what it said. The fact that everyone else in the world seemed to want to take the long way around frustrated Edward to no end. Well, everybody did but Alphonse. Sometimes he thought that Al was the only other sane person in the world. Edward wished more people were like his little brother, although it was decidedly unfair that the younger brother got to be smarter and taller.
"You remember we were talking about getting jobs?" said the younger brother in question, abruptly reminding Ed that they had been having a conversation.
"Well, I think we should do some civilian contracting for the military," Al said.
Ed spun around in his chair, scowling.
"I take back everything I just thought."
"What?
Brother,
obviously, you're out of your fucking mind. You can't possibly expect me to go back to working with that bastard again."
Ed snarled, pointing his finger at Al accusingly, as if it were his little brother's fault that the man was complete and total shithead.
"Why are you so angry at me, brother?"
the younger asked, looking at him with those giant brown eyes, and Ed immediately felt guilty.
"I haven't done anything. I just suggested a possible employer.
Yeah, but you're clearly trying to be a sadistic torturer because otherwise you would never tell me to work under him again.
Alphonse blinked, taking this all in. Brother, I thought... We've all been friends now for a while, right? He paused, brow wrinkling. I mean, I didn't know you were still so angry at him. We have him over for dinner all the time. Well, not all the time, but a lot, anyway.
The younger man sat up and turned toward his brother, putting his book face down on his knees to hold his place. Confusion evident on every line of his face. And Ed felt guilty for that, too.
I thought you two were getting along now. You certainly seem to be, he added, in a tone of gentle teasing.
The blonde hoped violently that Al didn't mean what Ed thought he meant.
Well, we were, he said, feeling suddenly embarrassed, like he had done something wrong. We were becoming friends. Are.
He corrected himself, clenching his pen in his hand. Al would be suspicious if Edward said that he and the general weren't friends anymore. And maybe it wouldn't be true. Maybe they still were. The bastard had promised that nothing would change between them. Not calling for several days, hell, several weeks, was kind of normal for the two of them. But that didn't make Ed any less nervous about it. When he had said he didn't want anything to change, he wasn't sure that kind of not change was what he had meant. Or whatever, he muttered, to fill the space left over when Al didn't respond. That's got nothing to do with anything. Alphonse's expression changed from one of confusion to one of incredulity. He raised his eyebrows, just this side of amused.
Brother, you're sounding suspicious.
Damn it, Alphonse! I'm not suspicious, Ed muttered, scowling. Why would I sound suspicious? There's nothing to be suspicious of. You're suspicious. Alphonse started smiling then. And damn him if the expression didn't seem knowing. Ed hated having a brother. He was disowning all former siblings.
Regardless of the general, I think it would be a good idea for us to offer our services to the military to do civilian work. He probably wouldn't even be our liaison.
Why are you so worried about this anyway?
It's nothing. I just don't want to be their dog anymore, he said,
running a hand through his hair and frowning as it came away with a smudge of black ink on his fingers.
He had probably smeared it all over himself. Alphonse wisely did not comment.
We wouldn't be their dogs, he said instead. We could refuse any assignment we didn't want to do. I don't think you should let your relationship with the general get in the way of a perfect opportunity to do some good, and have something to do at all.
That sentence startled Ed so much that for a few seconds he couldn't even manage to fish up a response. What the fuck are you trying to say? He finally shot back. Because being angry was way easier than having to deal with, or, God forbid, talk about whatever the fuck was bothering him. Whatever you think is going on there, you're wrong.
Al's eyebrows floated even higher, and Ed could just see this tiny little crook in the corner of his younger brother's smile that might have made it into more of a smirk. In any case, the look on the younger man's face was entirely too something for his own good.
I wasn't saying anything at all, brother, Al replied, smiling.
Yes, you were, exclaimed Edward, face heating. Why the fuck did Al's mouth get him out of trouble while Ed's own mouth only got him into more? You were implying, he said, like it was a dirty word.
I was talking about your antagonistic semi-friendship, or whatever it is that you two have. I wonder where your mind jumped so quickly, he asked, like he already knew the answer.
My mind? You were the one who asked it.
Ed stood up violently from his desk, almost slamming his chair over on its back. I'm fucking leaving. Alphonse just sat there on the couch, smiling like nobody's business, and didn't say anything at all.
Fuck you, said Edward, feeling storm clouds gather over his head as he stomped out of the room, leaving his fucking telepathic brother behind. Probably having stupid thoughts in his stupid head. God damn it.
Al could just make out his brother's form curled up under the rumpled bedsheets. The back of his ponytailed head, the only thing visible above the linens, as the younger squeaked the door open and took a step inside. Moonlight streamed in through the window onto the wooden floor in slanted shapes. They must have been up studying later than he had thought. He paused for a moment, wondering if Ed was still awake. He made a quick decision and padded over to the edge of the other's bed. The mattress creaked and shifted as he sat down, but Ed didn't so much as move. "Hey," said Al tentatively. Edward let out a heavy breath like he had been holding it in all this time. "Hey, Al," the blonde responded. "I'm sorry I teased you," Al said. "I didn't mean to make you uncomfortable. I didn't mean anything by it, I promise." The stiffness in his brother's back began to relax visibly. "I just thought it might be a good idea for us to work alongside the military, as long as we didn't have to join up. That's all." Ed took another breath, audible in the silence of the room. "Yeah, you're right, as always," he said, and Al smiled. That had to have been hard for Ed to say. "I'm glad you've noticed." "I think it'll be good for us." "Yeah," he paused. "I'm sorry I freaked out. I don't know why I did." Alphonse knew his brother well enough to be able to tell when his brother was lying, but decided it would be mean to call him out on it. Al had some suspicions as to why all of this was happening. With a capital S, and if he was right, he wasn't going to do anyone any good by bringing it up at this point. He would only make his brother defensive and uncomfortable. Well, more so than he already was. The last thing Al wanted to do was to make the other feel under attack. He had been getting a sense of genuine contentment from his brother over the past couple of days. Getting up early, making bacon, whistling. Like he hadn't since before their mom died. Not just happiness, either. The word for it was definitely contentment, which had seemed not so very long ago almost anathema to Edward's person. No bristling at conversation, no baiting strangers or strangers' dogs. There hadn't even been any night excursions in days. This sudden reversal had Al thinking, and thinking hard. "You know," he said carefully, testing, "the general's not so bad. He's done a lot for us. He's been a good friend, too, since you quit the military." Ed made a muttery, disgruntled sort of noise. "Yeah," he said, and pulled the blanket up further. "He really does seem to like you." Ed snorted by way of reply. "No, I mean it. Really. You don't have to be like this about him. Are you still mad about the stuff he did when we were younger?" "No, it isn't about that." Al nodded. That was good, at least. He knew his brother was volatile, but he was glad to know that the man wasn't stupid, too. "Maybe you're mad at him about whatever it was you two were doing that one time? You know what I mean. I can't pretend that I really understand it, but if that's really it, maybe you should talk to him about it." Ed didn't respond for a moment, sitting up halfway and propping his weight on his metal elbow behind him. He smiled tiredly. "Nah, it's fine, Al," he said, running his human hand through his bangs to get them out of his eyes. "Don't need to talk about it. That stuff was just kind of weird as hell. Besides, I don't feel like I'm in the fucker's debt or anything. He's not my boss anymore, and I like it that way. Don't want him to go getting ideas. The bastard's not allowed to boss me around anymore. I quit the military so I wouldn't have to deal with that shit." Al nodded again, listening for everything his brother wasn't saying. "Well, if we were working for him, and the way he was treating you ever got to be a problem, I would talk to him. I would have a very forceful talk with him. So you don't need to worry," said Al decidedly, which, for whatever reason, made Al break into a grin. "You do that, Al,"
he said, laughing. What I wouldn't pay to see that. Roy Mustang versus Alphonse Elric. He wouldn't stand a chance. Al paused for a moment, trying to decide whether his brother was making fun of him or not. But the look on the other's face seemed too bright, too genuine to be mocking. The younger returned the expression in kind. Well, you should know by now. Elric's look after their own, said Al. Ed snorted a laugh. Well, ain't that the truth? Ain't that just the goddamn truth? Lieutenant Havoc, why would one person want to let another person tie them up? Or tie another person up? Alphonse asked, feeling faintly embarrassed for reasons he could not quite express. Havoc grinned widely, clenching the end of a cigarette between his teeth and clapped Al on the back so hard that he actually stumbled forward. Well, Alphonse, he said, looking pleased in a way that might have frightened the younger man a bit. Let me introduce you to the wonderful world of adulthood. Roy had decided that a casual dinner out with both of the two brothers would be a nice, non-threatening way to open things up again after everything that had been said and done. A tremor of nervousness harried his stomach all day beforehand, a fact that he never would have admitted under threat of torture, but nevertheless could not escape. All of the solid ground in his and Edward's relationship had been quite thoroughly upended. Making the wrong move seemed like the fastest way to lose a fantastic sexual partner and two burgeoning friendships besides. So he decided. Dinner would be with both brothers. He didn't want to come on too hard, but not coming on at all would be just as dangerous. It was a delicate situation. Roy excelled at delicate situations. The dinner seemed to be a wise choice, because both brothers seemed at ease, happy to be eating good food and good company. To Roy's relief, Edward seemed much the same as always, cheerful, talkative, and painfully enthusiastic, though he couldn't be sure through Ed's clothing. He thought that the man might have been on his way back to a healthy weight again. In fact, he looked even better than usual, maybe even downright happy as he picked up his half-eaten chicken leg again and delivered his latest bit of news. Roy tried without much success to keep the surprise from his voice as he replied,
"Contracting. You're going into civilian contracting?" he asked,
eyes flicking back and forth between the brothers.
"For the military. But I thought you were violently determined not to work for me anymore."
Ed ripped another piece off of his drumstick with his teeth, to the evident disgust of a room full of diners and the disapproving stare of one Alphonse Elric. The elder brother didn't even seem to notice his faux pas, or if he did, he didn't seem to care. He just snorted and pointed the now meatless bone at Roy.
"Don't you get a big head," the blonde said, around his mouth full of bird thigh. "It wouldn't be for you, just with you. Or around you. Sometimes," he added. "Doesn't fucking mean anything."
He sounded a little bit suspicious, like he was expecting Roy to pull a short joke out of his dusty arsenal just because he had mentioned that the two of them might be working near each other on occasion. Roy restrained himself valiantly.
"What brought this on?"
Alphonse fielded that one. "Well, brother and I have both been going a little crazy recently without anything to do. And since I'm all better now..." "Not better enough to go around doing anything dangerous," Ed interrupted, sharpening a glare in Roy's direction. Al gave a huff of irritation at his brother's lack of concern for proper conversational etiquette.
"I have no idea what you could be accusing me of," Roy said, giving the man half a smirk as he folded his hands on the table. "Why would I put poor Alphonse in danger? It's not as if it would be of any benefit to me."
Ed's face went red hot so quickly that Roy could almost see the steam coming off of him.
"You bastard, you keep your hands off."
"Brother, he just said that he wasn't going to do anything. Stop trying to hear things he's not saying," Alphonse said sharply. "Behave. Major General Mustang is paying for dinner." Roy hadn't been informed of that fact, but decided to be the bigger man and not make an issue of it.
He smiled, equal parts amused and proud. Alphonse seemed to be developing some hidden talents, which was no surprise as he had been watching the general work for years. Ed turned an imploring look to his younger brother. But Al...
Brother, I think you should go to the bathroom.
Ed blinked, confused.
What?
Al glared at his brother, a look that Roy could only assume was full of meaning because the blonde alchemist stared back for a few seconds, then shoved his chair out from the table and stood up, looking not so very unlike a boiler reaching the critical point.
Fine, whatever,
he said, then turned to the nearest waiter halfway across the room and snapped,
Hey, waiter, get me 2 plates of apple pie and some creme brulee double time. And when I say double time, I mean it.
The waiter nodded, looking considerably smaller and more terrified than he had just a few seconds previously, as Edward stalked off towards the bathrooms. Roy turned a wondering look to a cherubic Alphonse Elric.
How did you do that?
The general asked. Al just smiled. Trade secret, he said cheerfully. Can't go giving them all away, can I? He paused then, his look shifting from bright to thoughtful. Though it seems like you might have a few secrets to share with me, he said, cementing Roy's suspicion that Alphonse was really the cleverer brother.
What do you mean?
The older man asked, taking a bite of his salmon.
Well, I don't really know what you've been doing for Ed, but it's been...
He paused.
I haven't seen him eat this much in months.
He seems normal again. He's been wanting to get out of the house more, just to do things. And when we finally sat down and made plans for work, he looked like he might just hug me. And that's not something Ed does very often. Al added, in case there was any confusion on that point, Roy supposed, amused. There was not. Roy paused for a moment, considering.
Were you aware that Ed has been out of the house every night for a month?
Al fixed him with a pleasant smile. If Roy had been a lesser person, it might have made him shiver.
Of course I am, General, the younger man said. What kind of brother would I be if you know what he had been doing better than I did? This one was going to be a real terror someday. Canny and quick, a proper genius, made even more dangerous by the fact that he was so easy to underestimate. For a second, Roy felt May Hugh's absence like a knife, but it slowly began to subside back to its time-dulled ache.
You don't miss much, do you?
Roy said with a chuckle.
No, General, I don't,
the younger man said, still smiling. And I haven't missed the fact that Brother hasn't gone on his little nighttime adventures recently, either. For the past, week or so. Roy laughed again.
All right, then. I'm sorry I underestimated you. Did you really want to know something, or were you just passing the time with idle conversation?
Unlikely. I wanted to say some things and ask some, actually, Al said, polite as he can be and innocent as a bear trap. He tore a piece off his dinner roll and chewed it slowly, like he was savoring every taste. It was just a dinner roll, but his expression was one of sheer bliss.
I'm listening,
Roy said and sipped at his drink. Quite a good dry Cabernet. Whatever happened between you and my brother that one time? Have you kept doing it?
That depends on what you mean by kept,
Roy said, swirling his wine around in his glass to let it breathe.
Well, what would you mean by it if you said it?
Al returned. Roy gave the other a wry look. He was being beaten at his own game. Not, he added mentally, that he was trying very hard.
I would mean that it has happened once more, yes.
I guessed as much, Al said with a thoughtful nod. And it makes Brother happy?
He looked very young then, for a moment. Roy sighed.
I don't know, Alphonse. Although that's the idea. You tell me.
Al nodded again, clearly not interested in answering Roy's half-assed question.
I see. And you're not...
hurting him. The older man choked in his Cabernet, and Alphonse blushed. Permanently, I mean, or badly. That, at least, he could answer without feeling like he was going to scar the boy.
I certainly hope not,
Roy said, recovering himself. Al made a thinking noise. Good, he replied, tapping his fork on the edge of his plate absently. Also, what are your intentions toward my brother? Roy, wisely, had not taken another sip of his wine since the last mishap, or else he might have breathed it in again.
Excuse me?
He asked, smoothing his face out into what he hoped was a neutral expression. You had better hurry up and answer me. Ed will be back soon, Al said with a meaningful tilt of his head. Full of what meaning, however, Roy couldn't claim to be entirely certain.
What kind of intentions do you mean? And what makes you think I have any intentions in particular towards him at all?
Well, I learned a little bit about all of this, General, so I wouldn't be totally in the dark anymore about what was happening with my brother. I had never heard about anything like it before all this started. Roy's incredulous amusement only grew.
Oh, did you look it up in a library?
Roy asked with just a hint of the patronizing, because that seemed like exactly the sort of thing an Elric brother would do. No, Al said, frowning slightly and stabbing a piece of his steak. I don't have access to a really good library, if you remember. Brother can't get into Central Library either, now that he's not a state alchemist anymore. And what would I have looked up, anyway? Even if it had a section on kinky sex practices, which I'm pretty sure it doesn't, I wouldn't have known to look there. He started to blush and stared very determinedly at his plate. Roy resisted the urge to pat him on the head. I asked around, Al mumbled, stirring his mashed potatoes. Roy cocked a smirk, like a hammer of a gun.
Oh, who did you ask?
Al flushed even redder. That's not important, General, he said, his panicked subject change lacking his usual grace. The point is, now I know this is sexual.
It isn't always.
Al paid no attention to Roy's interjection. And I get to ask anyone who has sex with my brother what their intentions are, he said, finally dragging his eyes back up to look at Roy directly. Alphonse's protective instincts seemed to beat out his embarrassment, at least for the moment. The general paused, thinking, and took another drink of his wine. He hadn't really planned on this at all, had never considered a situation in which he would be forced to defend himself to Alphonse Elric.
Alphonse, he said carefully, I didn't just wake up one morning with intentions, as you put it. Intentions evolve as the situation changes.
Al raised an eyebrow. Is this the beginning of an elaborate excuse for why you get to fuck my brother and make him think you have something that isn't there, and then leave him whenever it's not convenient anymore? Because if so, you should just stop talking. I really don't want to hear it, he said, voice acid and expression worse. Roy put a hand to his temples and rubbed them slowly. Damn the Elric brothers. Damn them and their huge eyes and their difficult questions.
No, Alphonse, Roy said, trying to sound calm and certain and not too exhausted. That's not it at all. I'm saying that I'm more than willing to see where this goes in the future, but I have no plans for the moment. You shouldn't expect me to, yet.
He said, tone-pointed.
Right now, however, Edward and I have a mutually beneficial arrangement where, outside of the bedroom at least, Ed calls the shots.
Roy regained his smirk at the sight of Alphonse going red down past his neck.
I'm not taking advantage of him. He is a full and willing participant in everything we do. You said yourself that he has been in a demonstrably better mood since we began our activities. Is that enough for you?
The two of them sat in silence for a moment. Al looked at Roy with a sharp, calculating expression that made him feel like the younger man could see everything. I think, for the moment... Oh, Edward, you're back quickly, Al said, expression as serene as ever as his brother strode over from the entry hallway, hands shoved in the pockets of his knee-length leather coat. He was grinning again, which Roy took to be a good sign.
Not fast enough, he said, sitting down in his chair with an audible thump. I got bored. Ended up improving all of their statues in the entryway. Edward, Al said, looking like he could die of mortification.
Roy just laughed. They could both imagine what Edward meant when he said, improve. The blonde man was many things, but tasteful was not one of them.
Don't bust a lung, Al. I'll change them back, Ed said, waving a hand back and forth in a placating gesture. I think they're hella cool, though. Anyway, then I was done with all of them, so I decided to come back and see if you two were done gossiping like old maids yet. Or whatever it was you think you were doing. And fuck it if you aren't finished, because I was coming back anyway.
Oh, good, just in time for my dessert, he said, drumming his utensils on the table absently as his golden eyes focused an intense stare on the contents of a tray that was bobbing over to him on the shoulder of a resigned-looking waiter. Without a word, the man unloaded the desserts onto the table in front of Edward, and the blonde descended upon the apple pies like a storm. Roy made a thoughtful noise as he watched the other man eat and finished the last of his wine. Edward seemed remarkably calm now about having been excluded from the conversation, more amused by the whole thing than anything else. Now that Roy considered it, he realized that the younger man's earlier red-faced fury had actually been fairly strange. Outbursts like that had been such infrequent visitors these days that he had almost forgotten what they looked like. This deserved testing.
Gossiping? Roy asked, putting his glass back down on the table. I don't know what would have given you that impression. Alphonse and I were having adult conversation.
He added with a smirk, waiting to see how the other reacted.
Oh yeah? Ed said with a snort and swallowed his mouthful of apple pie.
When did that get to be a thing you did?
Oh, I'd say when you were about...
It's bullshit anyway, Ed interrupted, scooping the last bit of dessert number one into his mouth. Roy frowned, folding his hands on the table, and wondered, not for the first time, where the younger man put all of that food. You two were gossiping. What the hell kind of adult conversation would you be having that I couldn't be around for?
I blame Alphonse, he said, not sounding particularly perturbed. If that's what you want to believe, Roy replied, keeping his voice pleasant.
This must have been a totally different man from the one who had left his room in such a hurry several nights before. Because this Edward grinned like the devil himself, looked Roy straight in the eyes and said,
I know what you two were talking about, you know. Is that so? Do tell, Roy said,
meeting Ed's eyes with an arched eyebrow. The smug confidence that the blonde now exuded looked damn good on him. Roy thought with some irritation that the other man probably did know exactly what Roy and his brother had been discussing.
That would explain the sudden change in demeanor. From cheerful to furious to utterly self-assured in the course of one evening, the man was as predictable as the weather in April.
Nope, said Edward, looking entirely too pleased with himself. You know what it was. I don't need to tell you, he said, and then, locking his intense gaze on Roy's eyes, did something entirely distracting. He took a spoonful of his dessert and gave the curve a long, slow lick, obscene in both intention and effect. Roy stared, unable to tear himself away, as the blonde flipped the spoon over and did the same to the other side, then swirled his tongue around it, looking for a moment every bit the experienced seducer. Roy swallowed around the sudden dryness in his mouth. Alphonse watched the exchange, wide-eyed and apple-red, and Edward said,
Oh, nothing to say for once, General?
He spoke the title like an insult or a challenge.
You're staring. See something you like?
He asked, sharp smile wide across his face, then stroked the curve of the spoon again with his tongue to catch the last bit of custard cream. Roy felt the need to try to work something out of his parched throat.
I'm sure. Don't even try, Mustang, Ed interrupted, casual voice cast over a painfully confident, terribly delighted expression. I should have known it would be this easy to get you to shut up.
I've been looking for ways to leave you speeches for all these years, but I've been going about it the wrong way, haven't I?
The older man couldn't find it in himself to argue,
because apparently the blonde was right.
Alphonse shot up from the table, nearly knocking his chair over backwards in his haste.
Okay, I think I'm done here. Thank you for the dinner, General. It was a pleasure as usual. I would be happy to talk to either of you when you're both sane again.
He spurted out in one breath. And Roy wondered when it started happening that Major General Roy Mustang could be thrown entirely off kilter by the intentional and unintentional efforts of two teenagers. Al turned an imploring look on him, then to his brother.
But please, for the love of God, you two figure out whatever you have going on, if only for the sake of my mental health.
I'll see you when you get home, brother. I'm leaving.
Without dessert?
Suit yourself, said Edward, and took another bite of his own, cheekbones faintly dusted in pink. At least he had the grace to feel embarrassed.
I'm going to milk the general for all he's worth, though.
I'm sure you are, Al said, stepping away and shoving his chair back in violently. I'll see you both later. Please don't cause any trouble while I'm gone. With that, he spun around and made for the front door like a desperate man. They sat in silence for a moment, Ed staring at the table and Roy watching Al's retreating back with a tired amusement, doing his best to ignore his lingering arousal.
You know, of the two of you, Alphonse is much cleverer,
Roy said after a moment.
Ed gave a long, put-upon sigh and scooped up the last bit of his third dessert.
Tell me about it, said Edward, and gave a dry laugh.